Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we're going to be doing a good old-fashioned Q&A. We've been getting random DMs and suggestions and questions. So we wanted to make sure that we address some of those questions that you all had. And I just wanted to take the time right now to say thank you to our listeners. You're very supportive. It means so much to me. And I say this, like, truly it lights up my world when I get a message or something that says that the podcast helped you. It just really means a lot. And I believe that, you know, if like when we started the podcast, we just wanted to, you know, help that one person, and mm-hmm. it makes it all worth it. So I'm sure you feel the same way, Chris.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so sweet to hear from you guys. And I always am like so embarrassed because I always think about doing these podcasts and that it's just Amy and I talking. And so when people are like, oh, I listened to your podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys. So, yeah, I don't know. I just really appreciate everybody that has been really supportive. And especially at this last team show, I met a couple girls that, where they said that the podcast helped them, and that's, you know, what it's about. So I appreciate it as well.
Yeah, it's truly humbling just because, I mean, we just want to, you know, I've done personally like so many shows, and there's just been mm-hmm. so many, you know, what I would call like an obstacle along the way, that if I can ever, you know, learn from something that I did the wrong way or whatever, and I can share that with somebody, that's kind of, you know,
yes,
what we're all about. So, speaking of that, talking about our personal lives, we did have a question from somebody asking about our personal plans for our competition journey.
Yes. So, you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. So I definitely, my goals right now is to definitely maximize my improvement season by putting on some more muscle tissue. I recently had a little bit of an injury to work through. I had like some issue with either my rotator cuff, but also like my neck. So because of my scoliosis, that those muscles that connect that joint from my spine to my left shoulder are pretty stretched. And so I had a little bit of an injury from training, so I backed off of upper body a little bit, but I'm feeling much better. So focusing on putting on some more muscle tissue to step on stage again. And I'm looking to compete probably next year. Haven't picked a show day yet, but just focusing on one day at a time, one step at a time, and learning to appreciate the improvement season. So that's kind of where I'm at. Amy, where are you at with your current goals and competing?
Yeah. So I actually, my coach I check in on Sundays, and after I had checked in, he went ahead and switched my plan from off season to in season. So I guess I'm prepping for a show. I started that on Monday. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped about it. With Masters competitors, there's just not a whole lot of opportunities for pro card type of qualifying shows. So if you're not familiar, listeners, it starts off the Masters season with MPC Universe, and that's the mm-hmm. July 4th weekend. There's opportunities there in your height class and your age. And then the next one is 3 weeks later, July 23rd, Masters Nationals in Pittsburgh. And that one's only Masters competitors. So that one actually has the most opportunities for U.S. competitors only, mm-hmm. or green card holders. And then there's North Americans. That is Labor Day week or weekend, however you want to put it. And that one is open to the world. So that one still is Masters. But yes, anyone in the world can compete at that one. And that's the only one as a Masters competitor if you're an international person. That's the only place you can earn a pro card as a Masters competitor, as a non-citizen. So I remember the last time I competed in that, it was like a different country was represented in every top five, it seemed like. So, yeah, wow. Once they opened that up, that was pretty big. And then there's also Masters USA is in December, but that one you have to win the overall. So that one's a little bit more tricky than the other ones where there's just, you know, A through H if you're 35 at Masters Nationals and things like that. So that's my little window that I'm working with. But I'm one of those people that I'm just like, I want to bring my absolute best. So, you know, if I'm not improved, if I'm not bringing a better package than I did the last time, I'm okay with waiting. I'm very patient. Like, the stage isn't going anywhere. So I have, you know, a lot of athletes to cheer on at these shows as well. So it's, you know, I'm a patient person. So whatever it will be, it will be. But I'm definitely, you know, every day is very intentional and very focused. So
I like that perspective and mentality. I think that's important and something that surely develops the more that you are involved in the sport. You learn to recognize that results are not instantaneous and it takes so much consistency in multiple areas of your life. So I just appreciate you setting that example, especially for us coaches and Glam Girl and the listeners too. I think that's really important for people to start embodying, especially for longevity in the sport.
Yeah, the stage isn't going anywhere. They always have shows, you know. It's just, it's everybody has a different timeline, and it's not going to go anywhere. As long as you are enjoying the daily process of living the prep life, I think that perspective can go a long way.
Absolutely.
In terms of that. So those are our personal plans. number two, do you want to take that one?
How do you get everything done in business and in prep? So I think that's a really good question for you. So I'll just start it off. I would say being very organized is just something that is a necessity. We utilize a calendar where I'll block off time that, you know, I have different chunks where, you know, like certain days of the week for allotted amount of time. I focus on check-ins. I have, you know, client calls. And then I also learned from you, Amy, to budget in your workout time, because if I don't do that, it waits till the very end of the day and I'm exhausted. And I'm just putting myself last. And that is like a normal behavior for me to reach burnout. It's just kind of like putting everybody first and then not taking care of my needs. So I would say just to be a healthy coach and a healthy athlete, it takes balancing those two and just really prioritizing like the top things. What are the top three things I need to do as an athlete? That's my workouts, my nutrition, and I would say probably my rest. And then as a coach, you know, making sure I'm budgeting my time for my clients with their check-ins, their calls, and posing, I would say are the top three. So that's kind of how I would approach it. How about you, Amy?
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody's ever read the book Deep Work by Cal Newport, but I really, really feel like that's one of the pivotal things that has impacted the way that I do business and my workout. I use the same principle. So when I'm working out, I strategically put it in times that are going to be consistent, distraction free, all of that. So the only time I'm looking at my phone is to look up my workout, but I do not respond to text messages. I don't do anything else but just focus on work right in that moment for what it is I need to achieve in terms of cardio or strength training. And then when it comes to professional life, I pick specific days of the week to do certain activities, and that has been very helpful for me. So I have all of my check-ins on Monday, and I'm coming off the weekend super fresh because I've, you know, taken that time to spend time with my family to fill up my cup. I am super focused on Mondays, and so when I can focus on one thing, check-ins, it makes me extremely efficient. So that's why I don't like doing them on any other days, because it like spreads me thin. And then I can't get into that deep work zone. And so I do, you know, it's a state of distraction-free concentration, and it just pushes your cognitive abilities to a new limit. And so, I mean, I'll see people in person, like on Wednesdays for in-person check-ins. And then like Thursdays are, you know, my virtual posing, and Tuesdays, you know, it's allocated for the podcast and things like that. And so I just find that when you start working on just that one thing, it can be a very, very quality work rather than just doing a little bit every day. That's just my opinion. And so, other than my workout, obviously you're going to do a little bit every day. But I mean, that's probably my biggest, turning point when I started doing that. And then just making sure that my hours are very, held to a high standard in terms of like what my business hours are, 9 to 3, Monday through Friday, and that I'm, you know, off then. So that, again, I can regenerate and, you know, be present at my son's baseball game and cheer him on, or be present at my daughter's volleyball game that I'm coaching. I do the same thing. I won't respond to like group me or things like that. I'm in the moment and I have my phone separated from me. And I do the same thing when I'm eating too. I am distraction free while I'm eating, because I want to be enjoying that moment. And that's going to help me with my nutrition as well. So that's kind of how I get everything done. I'm very detail oriented too. So I very much am a person that wants to get back to people right away. So, you know, you'll always hear back from me within 24 hours. The set upholder in me, I really feel like people need to get good feedback in a timely manner. And that's just the way I roll. So.
Yeah, I think you brought up some good points about the balance, which I think is important too. And doing one thing at a time. That's one of my like pitfalls that I've had to learn, is when I start multitasking and doing multiple things, my focus is spread between too many things that are happening at once. I don't do anything well. So like budgeting your time in that respect. And I think following routines, just like sometimes having routines for our prep goals, like when we eat and when we work out, for your work, it helps it be efficient as well too.
Yeah.
So I still think, schedule,
right. You know, it's like, the more we can kind of train our bodies to be on that same rhythm. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Good. Good. All right. Well, a listener had DM'd me about making friends in the sport. She had mentioned a little bit about how it's kind of hard because it's more of a solo sport in a way. Was her term that she used, in that, you know, there's teams, but not really. So I wanted to put this out there that I, especially after being at the team show last weekend, I really believe that there's a huge value in having a community, and the value of having a team, even though it is an individual sport. I really believe that these women, it was crazy how much they communicated prior to the show. We have a group chat that keeps us all connected. And so I felt like all of them kind of knew each other before they actually met each other, because they share their struggles. They give each other tips and tricks. Like, they kind of lean on each other for support when people around them aren't in the same headspace. So I know not every team's the same way, but I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but I do really feel like our culture, we really prioritize making that something that is substantial. And so, you know, we did posing practice together Friday night before the show. We checked in together. We had our team meeting to talk about expectations, and all the hair and makeup was done, and we're all together, and we're all, you know, like, not that we always are like, hey, our blanket's open if you want to join us, because we're totally open to that. But I feel like just doing that, and then in the gym, you know, I my workout partner right now, I would never even know her if I hadn't come up to her and just been like, hey, you look like you compete. Have you competed before? And we just got to talking. And now, I mean, we literally work out together every day. I think as females, it's super important. A lot of times we can tend to be like more competitive against each other, whereas we really need to just be there to support each other and empower each other. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you about the community thing being important, just to have somebody else who understands the goals that you're striving for, because it can be very different than everyday average lifestyles, where you're making sacrifices and you're prioritizing things because you're trying to reach this extreme. So you're making extreme decisions, you know, right, throughout your daily life. The first show I did with a friend of mine. So it was like a nice way to like enter into the bodybuilding world. And then the second show I did by myself, and it was totally different, just kind of being back there alone. And then when I experienced a team show and I got to be there with like a bunch of other girls that were all excited, it was all their first time on, you know, this stage. And you just develop really deep friendships. It's kind of like the relationship develops because you all are facing the same challenges. Whoever this person to ask this question is, we'll be your friend. reach out to us. But also, it's like Amy said, like, talk to people in the gym. I've talked to plenty of people that I've never met before backstage at shows, because you have so much extra time back there. So I've made really great relationships that I've stayed connected with on Instagram. I've even talked to competitors that I've never met on Instagram as well, too, just to ask them questions. And you never know, they may need that connection as well, too. So I would just be friendly, be yourself, and, you know, you'll attract what you are. So, yeah, there are bodybuilding friends out there. It's a small community. So I have really found that most people are very accepting.
I think that they should make, and they probably have it, but I still say they should make something like a dating app, but it's a workout partner app. I'm sure
that would be
like
perfect.
A Swole Mate app. No, just kidding. So, okay, the next question is, what is the biggest lesson that you have learned in bodybuilding? What would you say, Chris?
Oh, boy. I feel like the sport just constantly teaches me lessons. So I don't know that I could designate the biggest lesson. Probably the first thing that comes to mind is just patience. That it takes a lot longer than you expect to make the changes that you want to. I think also your body is capable of so many things. I think that's the other thing that's taught me as well, is like my capabilities are higher than I had imagined, but also my efforts, they need to be consistent, and they need to take, they take a lot of time. So as long as you're patient and consistent in the sport, there's a lot of opportunity. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. How about you?
Yeah, I would just say growth, you know, in so many different ways, physically and mentally. I think that growth just kind of captures the thing that resonates over this, you know, 10-year time period of what I've experienced. You get really uncomfortable, and it causes you to grow in so many different ways. And opens your eyes. So not only just the physical growth of muscles, but for sure the mental side, you know, of bodybuilding, 100%.
Yeah, I definitely, the mentality part is something that I didn't expect, because you look at like a program and a plan of nutrition and exercise, and you say, okay, I'll execute this, and then my physique will change. But to make those constant daily decisions, it does take mental stamina. But also, I think to go through the phases of constant change, where you're stage lean and then you're in an improvement season, like what to expect and how to view yourself and how to take criticism about your, you know, positive criticism from judges about your physique, and how to, you know, have that propel you forward rather than discourage you. There's so much mentality aspects that are involved in this sport. And that's what I really enjoy in coaching, is to kind of help people along that path, because it can be very confusing, especially with your self-perception, I think, at times. But yeah, it's just a work in progress. And I always feel like people are better for going through it. You just learn so much.
Agreed. And so that segues into our next question. How does this lifestyle affect your everyday life? I think you kind of answered that, but.
I mean, I feel like I kind of like how you put it one time, actually, Amy, because I was thinking, okay, you know, can I continue to eat and exercise with this type of regimen for, you know, my long-term goals? Like, is that for a season? Do I take time off of that? Like, how does that match? And you had said, you know, I already exercise on a regular basis and I already eat on a regular basis. So what's the difference of making it a little bit more specific? And that's where I really learned to adopt this as a lifestyle, because you're right. Like, those are things I already had in my daily regimen. It was just about making them focus towards a specific goal.
I never realized that we had that conversation.
Yeah.
Great. I love that.
Yeah. So like that helped me adopt it as like, okay, this is a regular part of my life. It's not such a big shift as I'm making it out to seem. Mm-hmm. And so like, I feel like it's just become a natural part of my life. You know, those are just priorities of mine. And I, mm-hmm. and not just for the sport, but I also feel better. I operate better. I just feel like I'm an overall better person when I'm on top of my sleep schedule, when I'm eating really well, and when I'm getting that exercise. So, that's kind of my perspective. How about you?
Yeah, I would say that's the biggest factor, is just like how it bleeds into every component of my life and that state of improvement. You know, it's just, it's always enhanced my life. I feel like whenever I'm on it, you know, I am more productive in every avenue personally. So that's why, I mean, that's kind of why I started came up with like the name Prep Life, is just because I feel like that's the perfect descriptor of, you just, there's no off season, there's no in season, even though I just said like my coach put me in off season or in season, but it's really, I mean, you're always working for something. You just have like different, I like this analogy. It's not an on and off switch. It's a dimmer. So if you have lighting, you know, sometimes it's really bright and you're pushing really hard for that goal. But then sometimes you have to pull that light down and dim it out a little bit. It's still there, but there's other things that are brighter. Maybe it's your family, your friends. So it's just like a dimmer switch. I don't know.
Yeah. I love that analogy. I think that's great.
Okay. Well, good. All right. The next one was, a girl asked about tattoos, if those were to hinder her success in the sport, and then also stretch marks from her pregnancy. So I'm not a tattoo girl, but you are, and you're a pro.
Yeah.
So you want to take that one and I'll take the pregnancy one?
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay. It's totally in our lanes. Tattoos, I do not believe are a huge, I don't believe that they're a hindrance to your physique. I know that some people want to utilize like tan cover up because they want to like take away the markings on your physique and kind of even everything out. The people that I have seen do tan cover up, I feel like it actually takes away from your physique. I feel like it kind of blurs your lines a little bit. And I say, just go out there with tattoos. I actually, when I was doing my photo shoot with JM, he looked at my arm and he was like, oh my gosh, I have been taking pictures of you for so long and I never realized that you had tattoos. So they're really not looking at your tattoos, they're looking at your physique, and your tan is so dark that it really doesn't show up as drastic as it would if you didn't have the, you know, your your tattoos. So I don't think it's a big deal. I never discourage my girls from getting them. I think you can definitely get away with them, especially in bikini.
I have one thing to add to that, because I have had athletes that I strategically pose them on various sides. I can think of one in particular that's actually competing this weekend. She has a very large tattoo on her like glute side of her leg. So if she were to pose in her front pose, she would have a big tattoo, but we flip her and then she doesn't have any tattoos on that side that's presenting in her front pose. So that, I mean, in some
situations, does it make a visual difference?
So like if you have a tattoo sleeve, I would have that as your back arm rather than your front arm. Just some things that like, well, it could throw off symmetry depending on how large it is or where it's located. So there's strategic things that you can do with hair and posing that can, you know, you always want somebody giving you an individualized routine, just like your nutrition and your training needs to be individualized.
Yes.
We're all unique. We're all unicorns looking for that unicorn prep. So you need to make sure that you do cater it to that. And then in regards to the stretch marks, honestly, I have stretch marks. I've seen millions of competitors that have stretch marks. You can see them up close, but with the tan and the lights, there's no way that you can see those from the stage. It just is not something that counts off. Now, I know that part of the judging criteria is skin health and things like that. So if you have loose skin, you know, that could be something to take a look at. I know that that does contribute to the overall look. So, you know, it might be the case that you have a skin tightening procedure or something like that. But for the most part, I don't see it being a problem. I know pretty much every pro has stretch marks, even if they haven't had a baby. I mean, our Miss Olympia's had a baby. So, I mean, look at her. Janet.
Exactly.
Case in point. Mic drop. Okay. So the next question was, how important is training and cardio intensity? And I like this question because this is something that I've really been focusing on with athletes. As an online coach, you cannot be there with the athlete while they're working out. So you can write up a program, but the intensity is super important to getting to the next level. So I've started incorporating tangible ways of measuring that through heart rate. So we've talked about in previous podcasts, like now we have a measurable tool for stress. Like somebody just tells us they're stressed, but we look at their HRV and we actually know with data, like, okay, this is stressful for you. This is not. And then we can measure someone's non-exercise activity by their NEAT. So if we're hitting a plateau and we've got a bunch of cardio and they're compensating by not moving, then we can see that in their steps. So the tool that I've been utilizing recently, and I've found that it's a really good way of athletes to measure their intensity, is by their heart rate. So when they're training and in their cardio, I give them certain ranges. What are your thoughts there, Chris?
Yeah, I think the more tools you can use to measure, especially online, it's tough online. You're limited with certain things. The more things you can give people to track progress, the more you can use your toggle switches, like we talk about, to be a little bit more specific and changing their physique. So I think it's great.
Yeah, because if you just write steady state cardio, somebody could be doing steady state cardio, or they think that they're pushing themselves enough, and then you give them a heart rate target and they're like, whoa, this is not even close to what I was doing before. So it doesn't make a big difference. And I've noticed that that's something that we're always looking to analyze and think of ways that we can, you know, enhance the results. And so I just think that's one more tool in the toolbox.
I think also, I was just going to add, I think measuring your efficiency for your workouts also just helps with your efficiency of your overall daily movements. You know, if you're bringing a really hard workout, then, you know, your energy is, you know, expended in that certain amount of time frame, and then you're maybe not having to stretch it out so far across the day. So just having your efficient time in the gym. I think it's important, and measuring that way makes sense.
Yeah, and I know some coaches will have you measure calories and things like that. The reason why I'm opposed to that is I just don't feel like the calorie measurement is as an effective tool, especially just because they're kind of like generic equations based on the activity. I would always look at like what an elliptical would burn versus doing sprints on a treadmill, and I wouldn't get half the workout, and I was like, oh, I burned like double the calories on the elliptical. But it's just because that machine has that equation and it's not accurate, in my opinion.
Well said.
We're at the 30-minute mark, so I think we covered all of our questions. Was there anything that you had a question from somebody that they wanted us to mention or answer?
I did have someone ask me, like, with COVID this year, are there any new things to be aware of when you're competing, like any changes? And the couple things that I advised was, number one, just make sure that you have a mask. Like, you don't know if that promoter is going to have to require you to wear it on stage or off stage. So it's always good just to have one. And number two, have a plan B show. Sometimes like shows get moved, or they, you know, get, they have like a different date or a different location and it may not work for you. So always have like a backup plan and keep an open mind in your prep that you may need to extend it if something gets shifted or changed. And the only other thing that I've noticed is they're just controlling the crowds backstage a little bit more. So there's not as many available training passes at some shows that I've noticed. And again, this is all anecdotal, but just some things to be aware of with the new year and how shows are running so far.
Yeah, that's good add. I definitely think that's valuable information. So with that, we would like to conclude this episode. But first, if you would be so kind to leave a rating or review, it really helps out other people in the sport be able to find us. So if you found value in this episode, please share it with a friend. We are on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast and at Glam Girl Bikini. Be sure to tag us in your stories and also DM us if you have suggestions for other Q&As that we might bring up, some topics that you mention. And if you would like to apply for the team, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com, hit the Get Started button, and from there, after you've filled out the application, we will go ahead and set up a phone consultation to discuss your goals further. So with that, this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.